Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K 12 Education Talk Radio, and it is the 16th day of Tax Day, the 16th of April, 2024. Thanks for being with us today. We've got Jennifer Quigley and Jason Velasco here. They're both from Translate Live. That's TranslateLive.com, where Jennifer is the VP of Business Development, and so actually basically the same title with Jason. We're going to talk about how their instant language product, okay, their instant language adapter, works in its schools, okay? And instant language assistant works in schools, and how you can use it for kids with the many languages that the kids have, the many languages the families have, et cetera, et cetera. So looking forward to talking with them. You can learn more over at TranslateLive.com if you want to check that out. We're going to archive the show over at ACE-ED.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Everything we do over there is free. Our Equity Awards program, all the podcasts are over there, magazine information, et cetera, et cetera. We invite educators, pre-K-12, and anyone else who wants to go over and check out what we're doing, all for equity in schools, giving every kid the education they really deserve. Again, it's ACE-ED.org. And without further ado, ladies first, Jennifer Quigley, good morning. It's Larry here.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you so much for having us today. We're excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you. And Jason Velasco, good morning to you.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you, my friend. Jen, where are you today? Are you in New Jersey?
I am. I'm a Jersey born and bred. Are you familiar?
I am. I grew up in Philadelphia.
Okay.
That was funny. What part of Jersey are you from? There are so many parts to it.
I know. It makes a difference, right?
It does.
I grew up in like Central Jersey in Union County, but up in Morris County for about 30 years, which makes me sound super old. But
you spent the first year of your life and the next 29, first year of your life down there. The second 29 years up in the up there. It's pretty cool, I got to tell you. Chase, where are you today? In New York? Where are you?
No, I'm right outside of Washington, D.C.
Oh, I should have known. I read the wrong area code. I apologize for that. Okay, where are you? In Maryland, Virginia, where are you?
Yeah, the Maryland side, just north, right there on the northern D.C. border, right there on the Maryland side.
Cool. Cool. That's great. I'm going to go over. Well, I'll throw it to Jennifer, but you guys can do either way you want. Okay. Talk to me, okay, about your the company is Translate Live. It's TranslateLive.com. But the company is we're talking about a product called the Instant Language Assistant. And I invite everybody to go over to TranslateLive.com and check it out. But just talk about the product. Just tell us what all this is about, Jen. Give us a good introduction. Ladies
first.
Yeah, absolutely. You're on the call. Go do it, Jen.
Okay. So the Instant Language Assistant, Translate Live, actually was started and founded by our CEO, Peter Hayes. He lives in Florida, but he actually founded Stratus Video. So I'm not sure if our listeners are all familiar, but Stratus is still used as a video relay system throughout the hospitals in the United States.
Cool.
He sold it, and the name changed, but used for deaf patients throughout hospital systems, and they roll out the cart with the ASL interpreter on it. That's what Peter founded. So he took everything he learned at Stratus, building that company, and came and built Translate Live. He actually started the Instant Language Assistant. We call it the ILA, I-L-A. For sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. So
it has a name, ILA, everybody. ILA, I-L-A.
Yeah,
good. Yeah,
yep.
I like that.
And spread the word, ILA. We want it to be a household name.
I would hope it becomes that. I hope I can help it doing that. So that's actually a very interesting background Peter has. Okay, so how long's ILA been around? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, so he started it in 2018. He started the ILA as an app specifically for deaf and hard of hearing individuals coming from that world, and created the app for, you know, it shouldn't be, the onus should not be on the deaf person that going into a place of business or a government agency to be able to communicate, you know, right back and forth, whatever it should be on that business, right? So he created an app, the Isla, and then it was, well, not everybody has, you know, a phone, or their phone died, or they don't have connectivity. So
yep.
The government was working with Peter, asked him to create a device that was purpose-built, out of the box, ready to go. You don't know who's walking in the door. So created the Isla Pro, added the languages. So now we're up to over 209 languages, I think we're at, right, Jay? And you can communicate with almost everybody that walks in the door. So whether you have a communication disability, a challenge there, or a language challenge, as far as, you know, languages, we have so many refugees coming in and people coming into our country who don't speak English at all. That's where the schools have really been challenged in the past year and a half, since COVID, actually. So we are really, that has been our, really talking to a lot of schools. We're in, over 3,000 schools, I believe, now. And the feedback has just been phenomenal from, you know, engagement of parents. Now we're in the classrooms in some school districts where, like, ESL classrooms. So it's really been phenomenal so far.
And but I have to say, by the way, I'm calling Jason Jay from now on, just like you did, Jen. Okay? I'm calling him Jay from now on. All right. Yeah. Okay. So, Jay, let me go over to you, the amazing Jay Velasco. Okay? Jay, the former Jason Velasco, now Jay Velasco. Okay? Jay. Okay? It started off as an app, but it's not an app. It's actually a thing, a physical thing now. Okay? I've seen pictures of it. It's on the website, translatelive.com. Okay, Jay. All right. Talk to me about what it actually does. Okay? I know what it's capable of doing. Okay? It's capable of making it easy for people with foreign languages or perhaps hard of hearing to communicate. I get that. And that's really important in today's schools. Okay? But how does it do that? What does it do? Somebody walks in, they speak Swahili. Okay? They walk into the school with their little kid. They speak Swahili or Arabic or whatever language, Ukrainian, Uzbeki, whatever, okay? Urdu. They walk in. Now what happens? Jay, you're on.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, our philosophy is there's really no magic solution, you know, one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to addressing challenges with language barrier, right? In your example, let's say the family is walking into a local school, for example, they're unscheduled and they want to have a way to be able to communicate with, you know, someone on the other side of the counter, you know, maybe in that administrative role who doesn't speak their language. And so one of the solutions that are built in is using AI. And so all this person would have to do is identify their language from our language menu. And like you said, you know, it's a very robust language menu.
It is.
And then in, you know, in a second or two, you're kind of in an interaction, in a room, if you will. There's a red button there that unmutes the microphone. You speak into the device in your native language, and then everything that you say is going to be instantly transcribed and translated in real time. And so for that scenario, that could be perfectly all well and good. You know, I think there's a lot of conversations, which is just a concrete exchange of information. Could be a very quick information exchange. You could have other scenarios where it's, hey, I want to be able to sit down and go through a more detailed process, an enrollment process, let's say. That's, you know, where we use a different function, where we can preload any of those commonly used phrases or protocols along with the translated version of what is going to be put in there so that you have 100% accuracy. Cool. And so now you have a way with 100% accuracy to go through, you know, typical protocols and organizations will see. And that can help you get through some of those, you know, existing processes. And if all that fails or you still can't get a mutual understanding and, you know, or maybe there's a language that we don't currently support, hit a button and on comes a live human interpreter. And that's available in both spoken language and American Sign Language. And so really it's a collection of tools, if you will, and we give our users the ability to say, hey, you know, what is the best tool given the scenario? If it's a quick conversation, maybe one of these solutions is going to work best, all the way up and escalating that to bringing a live human interpreter to kind of close that gap, if you will.
This is pretty cool. And so let's go to a scenario, okay? And thank you, Jay. That was great. Jen,
sure.
Okay? What questions are school – you've gone – how many schools are you going to now? 3,000, did you say?
Yeah, about 3,000 now.
All over the country?
All over the country, Larry.
Great. Beautiful.
From coast
okay.
to coast.
That is beautiful. I imagine a district would buy the products and put them into every school, I would imagine, or at least into the central office or something, okay, that makes this work. Has anybody put them into a lot of classrooms, et cetera? How's it working in school, so to speak? What are you finding? What are the questions that pop up, et cetera? Okay.
Yeah, that's a great question. We found that a lot of the schools are using them in the main offices. So
which makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, total sense. So again, you don't know who's walking in the door, what language
that's
they
right.
will speak. It actually each one it's a two-sided device, as Jay said, but they also come with a QR code, which is just a link. So any school district could share that link
cool.
on their social media, on their website. You can text it. You can email it. So it doesn't have to be a face-to-face conversation. It can be remote conversation so parents can call in to the main office. They don't have to download an app or anything. They just go to that link and pick their language. And that's why I wish we were on Zoom and we could show you.
Well, that's okay. We're on the radio. I wish we were on Zoom, too. Yeah, but this makes sense. And how does it – how does the translation manifest itself? Is it written or is
mm-hmm.
it spoken? And I'm not talking about a live person. I'm talking about when the machine is operating.
The AI.
Yeah. How's
yeah.
it work?
No. It's both. So if somebody just scans
that's
that great. QR code or even face to face on the device itself, it comes out in audio as well as the written. And there are a few that don't – right now there's no engines and they only come out in text, but there's very few. We just added another 50 speech engines to what we have because it does bring literacy issues into that, you know, if parents don't read the language. But we're working every day to improve that, and we can add engines as they become available. So the product is just getting better and better. So we have, schools, Larry, that put that QR code right on their main entrance for security. Parents come up, scan it, it rings the ILA in their main office, and they're like, oh, I'm here to pick up my son John. He's in the nurse's
right.
office. Please let me in, right? And then they come in. We have schools that put the QR code on the buses. It rings the transportation office if they have questions about, say, pickup or drop-off.
Wow.
So we're seeing a lot of really cool uses for it in the main offices and transportation nurses' offices. But to your point, yeah, we just had a few schools start. One school just bought the license because they had phones that they were already not using in a closet that they had purchased for
mm-hmm.
something else. They ended up purchasing licenses, about 700 licenses, for all of their teachers and counselors in the school district so they can use them on their own devices. So that was really cool.
Take that a little further. So what does that mean? They can actually use can I call it an app? What should I call it? As I say that, they can use the code on their phone
mm-hmm.
so they could talk to a kid in their classroom and use the ILA, so to speak, okay,
yeah.
to translate with
yep.
a kid who doesn't speak English or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, so we have what's called broadcast mode, Larry, and what that
yeah.
is again, each – teacher is going to have their own QR code, their own license, and they can just turn the device on, whatever they're using, even if it's on like their iPad or phone, and just or actually they had their own devices as I mentioned. They just put it in the front of the classroom, turn it on. Every child can then connect to that QR code, choose their own language on their Chromebook. They have a link to that teacher.
Oh.
We can even have that QR code say, you know, Mrs. Smith's math class. They open their Chromebook, click on it. It's already in their language. It connects. So a teacher could, you know, have three people that speak Spanish only in her class, two pick Ukrainian, and they can all hear that teacher in their language at the same time. So it's a game changer.
It is a game changer. And it can translate. This is a funny one. The Ukrainian one, kid, could have a conversation with the Spanish kid. It's not necessarily translating into English. It's translating
mm-hmm.
into what any language you want, right?
Absolutely. So we just added that as like a group. It used to be one to many, and now We have added the ability to raise a hand, and so everybody can interact as long as that host, say the teacher, they have total control of that. So they can say, okay, nobody's asking questions now, or if it's an assembly or something like that, or they can ask, you know, make comments and ask questions. We have schools using that for, like, their Board of Ed meeting. One school put that QR code right on their Board of Ed meeting on their YouTube channel. So parents from wherever they are at home could scan it and join that Board of Ed meeting. So it's really boosting parent engagement as well for all different kinds of events. So, yeah, really
cool
stuff.
Where have you Jay, thank you, Jen. This is amazing. Jay, where have you taken this product in education? Do you go to any of the conferences? This is fantastic.
Yeah, we have you know, a lot of presence at the you know, at the trade shows there, some of the national ones, and then even some of the local ones, you know, all over the country. So we try to be very involved with the community. I think that's another piece of this is you know, kind of networking and learning more about how this is going to fit with our end users, and we use that in development, and also use that as a way to kind of you know, create our own network of folks that are looking to solve these challenges in a new way.
It's really amazing, and I want to ask you, Jay, a funny question on this one, okay? I can understand this, as anybody listening can. You know, you're in New York, New Jersey, whatever, big city, okay, big mm-hmm. metropolitan areas, okay? Makes perfect sense, okay? It's a lot of people. There's a lot of immigrants, a lot of folks coming from other countries, everything you can think of, okay? Makes perfect sense, okay? But you're in 3,000 schools around the country, and you said you're everywhere. And I'm curious, you know, and I run into this all the time. I mean, I've talked to schools in very rural Iowa, okay, and they get a strong influx, for example, of people coming in who speak only Spanish, okay? These are smaller cities in Iowa. I'm just using that as an example. North Dakota is another one. Okay. Are you finding that those school districts know about this? Okay. Because they need it as much as the big city school districts do. Where are you selling these to into schools? I find this fascinating. Is it everywhere? Does everybody know about it?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're doing our best to get the word out. But yeah, I mean, you know, you're going to have larger districts that have, you know, enterprise level needs, if you will, that may have a lot of resources that they have been able to provide, you know, to solve these challenges. And that can look in the way of, you know, document translation and computer assisted translation solutions, access to live interpreters, on-site staff for interpretation and translation, bilingual educators. And so what we'll find is sometimes the solution is very good for those bigger needs, to kind of fill in the gaps, you know. And then you'll have the kind of smaller rural districts where maybe some of that infrastructure hasn't been set up. You know, there's a lot of districts that we speak to where, you know, this challenge has presented itself over the year, but it's an increasingly larger population, if you will.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. Okay. You
so,
know, all school districts are facing this problem. Okay. All school districts are facing this problem, or if they're not now, they will be. Okay, it's that simple, okay? And as a classic example here, I live in Maine, and in Lewiston, Maine, there's a huge, huge community of Somali people from Somalia, okay? And that is a well-established community now in Lewiston, Maine, okay? Mm-hmm. Just imagine the challenges, okay, when they first got there, and I'm sure they still exist, okay? And it's just interesting the way community settle. I talked to I think it was a school district in Arkansas a number of years ago, where a huge influx of people from the Marshall Islands and Polynesia came in for whatever reason. Okay. And it's funny the way, and this is a challenge for them. Now what do we do? How do we communicate with these kids? Translate live. Okay. Isla is the answer. Okay, it's pretty damn simple. If you've got this, you're in good shape. Okay, but I have to ask you. Okay, besides language, there's also you know, and you mentioned it before, kids who are hard of hearing. All right, how does it work with people who are deaf or hard of hearing? Because even if it's translated, they still can't hear it. What's happening with that? How's that work? Hello?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. Oh, here I am.
Not that good, but it's a fair question. But it's a good question, okay? Go ahead. How's it work? Deaf kids.
So, as, again, how it started, it was for deaf and hard of hearing individuals. So that is our background. So each
why? Well, I know how they can't hear. They can't hear the translation. Was it just pumping it out in text? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So there's a couple of answers here. It does come out in text. So we have hard of hearing students using this in the classroom for 6 hours a day, where the teacher is speaking in English, and then the student just follows along on their end with the English to make sure that they can understand and follow the lesson. They will also connect to Bluetooth hearing aids and Loop system, as well as a Braille writer. So that's for a deaf-blind student, it's a game changer. Oh. If they know Braille and they have a Bluetooth Braille writer or
Braille
display,
it'll come out in Braille.
It'll come out on their Braille display, yeah. So total game changer. I mean, we had it wasn't in a school district, but here in Jersey, we had a woman. She was losing her hearing. She worked at one of the agencies in Newark, and she was a case manager, losing her hearing. Nobody could figure out why, and she was literally going to go on disability. I brought the Isla to her. She hooked up her Bluetooth hearing aids to it, and she literally started crying, and she was able to keep her job.
God.
She said, I was just going to quit my job because she couldn't hear the people that were coming in to sit at her desk for help. So things like that, you know, it's a game changer in the deaf and hard of hearing world. It will, as Jay mentioned before, you can also bring on a live ASL interpreter. So if you have deaf parents or deaf students that come into the district, you can bring on that live interpreter anytime. And we resell a partner, but if you guys already have a, you know, somebody, like if a school district already has a VRI partner, we can work with you to have that live button route to whoever you already use. But, yeah, that's so we tried to build in all of those, you know, kind of bake in the accessibility features.
Wow.
Does that answer
your
question?
Yeah, it does. It's like
somebody said that to me yesterday. They said,
yeah, it's like the UN
like
in
UN.
Your pocket. It's like that's going to be a great tagline, the UN in your pocket. Okay? It's unbelievable.
I like it, Larry.
Yeah, do
it. Feel like
yours.
That.
Yeah, okay. I mean, this is really what and you've given a couple examples. Jay, I'm going to ask you, though. This is funny. Okay? We've had some good examples. What's your favorite? What's your favorite anecdotal story about this? Okay, something that you didn't expect. I don't mean to put you on the spot. If you can't think of one, I guarantee you, Jen can. Okay.
I don't know about that. That's a hot.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Came up with a good
one.
There are so many. Yeah, that's what I mean.
We jump out of bed every day because we get to hear these stories of the impact that it's having.
Exactly.
You know, at the local school district, it's, you know, being able to provide equitable services inside of the classroom or even for family and community engagement efforts. I think, you know, one of the great things that we're doing is also supporting nonprofits and food banks and healthcare operations. And so, you know, there's a whole lot of people out there. It goes way beyond schools.
Yeah,
exactly. Workforce development. And, you know, the kind of thing that we really love is that we get with these organizations and they're doing all they can to be able to communicate and provide these services to these folks that, you know, are limited English proficient, but with budgetary constraints or even just, you know, kind of the day-to-day challenges that kind of face these issues, it's tough for them to provide, you know, live interpretation for those needs or any kind of solution. And so to be able to kind of bridge that gap to help those that help others, is the biggest impact that we have on the team. We get constant stories of how we're able to kind of, you know, provide these tools to those folks that are out there in the community and be able to make those connections to get these services and out to folks because they're existing. They just haven't had a really good way to be able to get that word out to the community. And so, you know, those are some of the really impactful things that we start to see. You know, I'm thinking of some of the food banks that we're starting to work with in Illinois and outside of Chicago, and just the impact that it's having in that community is such a great thing to see.
It really is. And you made a good segue there, because I was going to ask you about this falls into a lot of categories. And it talk about funding, okay? Jay or Jen, I'll just throw the conversation. I'll throw it to Jay. You want to throw it to Jen, you can. Okay, funding vehicles for school districts. They might be listening to this. How do I afford this? You don't have to say what the cost or anything like that, because I think the cost is determined on how many users, et cetera. But what are the funding vehicles, et cetera, that make it easy to do this, make it easier to do this, I should say, use the product?
Yeah.
Good old
Isla.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, there's a lot of funding options out there. You know, there's the title, funds that are out there. American Rescue and ESSER funds have been existing here for the past couple of years, and so we use that.
Yep.
And then there's also specific grants that will come down in certain states, you know, refugee relocation and resettlement efforts, or ADA compliance efforts to, you know, do equitable services. And so I think, you know, that's a big part of what we do from a consultative approach, is to find funding options for those that we work with as well. And we make some recommendations to some of the existing funding options that are out there. And, you know, the cool thing is that there seems to be options out there, there's funding options out there, unlike some of the products or even some of the solutions. And so that puts us in a really good place to be able to afford us an opportunity to work together with those who need this.
And again, how long have you been working in school? What schools now? How long?
I would say probably a good 2.5 years now is maybe when we first sold the first school in Boone, Kentucky. And then skyrocketed from there. Yeah.
Well, that's actually what you just said is exactly what I was talking about before. Okay. In places you don't necessarily think of. Okay.
Sure.
And again, I live in Maine. Okay. It's a rural state for the most part. And you don't think, okay, that this is going to be necessary everywhere. But in fact, here in America, it is. It is. It's just such a good idea. Okay. Peter Hayes is a smart guy. What is he? Is he an engineer? What is he? Was he just a guy who sits like the thinker and thinks all day?
He definitely thinks all day and all night. I don't think he's a man sleeps, to be honest.
Like, is he sitting on the rock with his hand and a fist, with his chin resting on his hand? What is he doing all day? Okay.
No,
you know?
He's a brilliant guy, down-to-earth guy, but, yeah, full of ideas and good stuff.
Yeah, I wonder,
what got him interested?
I don't know whether you guys know this. What got him interested in language and that sort of thing? Do you know the history of that? I'm just curious. Any idea? Jen?
Well, Jay's known him longer, but I know
Jay?
He was working.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he did a lot of stuff with
Jay?
The city of Baltimore. Jay,
sure.
You know, and
then
he was working for ZVRS, which is a deaf, you know, VRI company. So that's when he started Stratus.
Ah,
but before that, I don't know exactly what he was doing. Jay?
You know, he's a tech kind of nerd, if you will. And so he was setting up networks for large cities and even battlefield communication solutions. But that was kind of the origin story there before he got introduced to assistive technology. And, you know, was one of the folks on the team that was hearing and, you know, taught himself ASL, and from there he just kind of saw a big need of, you know, how technology can be a game changer to those that have communication disabilities. So was able to have enough foresight to see, you know, hey, we have communication doesn't just fall under, you know, someone with a communication disability. There's a whole language component there. And so how do we solve those challenges with, you know, 20% of folks speaking a language other than English in the U.S. This is a growing challenge, a growing population, and so
it's unbelievable.
By the way,
it's been around for a long, long time. English as a second language. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is, okay, and bless all the English ESL teachers. Okay. We need technology, just like we use it in everything else. We need technology here too. It cuts to the chase, okay? And we just, you know, somebody's yelling help. You don't need to, we can't afford the time to try to figure it out and teach it with all the phonics and everything else. We just need to know they're saying help, okay? And that's basically what we're using here. okay, the AI and all that sort of stuff. Guys, this is fantastic. I can't thank you enough for being here. Okay, you're both going to heaven,
thanks
I would
for
assume.
Having us.
Yeah, yeah. Are you yeah. kidding me? Yeah, this was great. Good luck with all this. Stay in touch, okay? This is good stuff. This is good stuff.
We will.
It's all about effort.
Appreciate you, Larry. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, I appreciate
thanks,
you back. Thank you. Both of you. J&J, take care. Thank you both.
Take care, Larry. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Larry.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Well, you're welcome. Okay. That is TranslateLive.com. It's Isla. Call it by name. The instant, I keep saying this wrong, the instant language assistant. It's cool. And you need it. Okay. So TranslateLive.com. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Okay. I'm Larry Jacobs. Hey, thanks for listening. Everybody, hope you paid your taxes on time. Have a good day. Bye.